Shavuot Tov. In this week's parsha, the Torah tells us about what's going to happen when Bnei Yisrael go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah writes that six shvatim are going to go and stand on Har Gerizim. Six shvatim are going to go and stand on Har Eival. And Moshe Rabbeinu mentions 11. There will be 11 curses, right? Each one having to related to if you don't keep the Torah. Corresponding also will be brachos, different blessings that you receive if you do keep the Torah. Each one corresponded to a different shevet. Shimon being left out because Moshe Rabbeinu was not planning on giving him a bracha, so he didn't give him a klala, didn't give him a curse either. Okay. The 12th arur, the 12th curse that was mentioned, arur, asher lo yakim es divrei Torah zos, Rashi tells us is a general shvu, a general curse on the entire Torah. What is going to, things that aren't mentioned over here. And everyone had to say, amen, everyone accepted. Yes, we will accept the Torah, we can accept all the mitzvos, we hope to get the brachos, we hope not to get the klalos. And they're ready to move on. Okay. Tosfos asks the following question. Tosfos asks in Maseches Shavuos, on Daf Chav Tesamid Aleph, he asks, I don't get it. One of the oaths that they had to take, one of the curses that were given, is Arur, someone who worships Avodah Zarah, someone who worships idols, he's going to get a curse. So he said, if someone is already willing to worship Avodah Zarah, so what's the point of taking another oath that says I'm going to keep the Torah? If he doesn't care about Hashem, he doesn't care to not worship idols, so he's also not going to be held off by not keeping his oath. Right? What does an oath do? If you don't care about halacha, you don't care about Hashem, so you can take an oath from today to tomorrow. The fact that oaths are stringent, oaths are important, that's not going to hold you back from anything. So Tosfos says, Tzas Kasha. It's only a small question, he says. What was the point of this oath? Just like we're afraid he's going to worship Avodah Zarah, he's also going to violate the oath. What do you gain? And Rav Hutna writes in Pachad Yitzchak, in Maimer Dalet of Yom Kippur, he teaches us a very, very important idea. He says, really, we're talking about someone who wants to do the right thing. So if he wants to do the right thing, he wants to wear tzitzis, he wants to wear tefillin, he wants to daven on time, he wants to daven with the minyan, he wants to learn Torah, he wants to do the right thing. So what do you need to take an oath for? And he writes that when someone articulates with his mouth something that he's going to do, what we speak about in the tshuva process, Kabbalah ala Asid, when a certain person accepts of what he's going to be, what he's going to do in the future, that's not just saying, you know, I regret the bad that I did, and I won't do it again. But rather, it connects him with that which is going to be in the future. You feel much more connected when you articulate, the next time I'm on the telephone, and someone starts to speak to me Lashon Hara, I am going to switch the topic and start speaking about sports. I'm going to go ahead and hang up, whatever it's going to be. When you articulate something that is going to happen in the future, you feel much more connected to it. And that enables you, it helps you do that thing in the future. So accepting something for tomorrow, for the next week, is not just about, well, I'm sorry I did something bad, I'm not going to do it again, I won't do it in the future. But it connects us and allows us, helps us push towards accomplishing those things in the future. It was a study that was done in Britain in the year 2001. And they were trying to show an experiment on people doing exercise. How are they going to get people to do exercise? So they split the group into 248 people into three different groups. Group number one was the control group. And they just said, you know, exercise and track when you're going to exercise, so we see how many times you exercise. Group number two, they didn't just tell them to track the exercise, they tried to motivate them, and they told them they should read books about why exercise is important, And they also gave them a motivational, inspirational schmooze about how it helps your heart if you exercise. Okay, that was group two. Group three had to do one extra thing. Just one extra thing. What was that? They would have to write, over the course of their 2 weeks, they'd have to formulate a plan as to when they would exercise. And then they'd have to write the following sentence. Quote, "During the next week, I will partake in at least 20 minutes of vigorous exercise on blank day," they'd have to fill in the day, "blank time," fill in the time, "and blank place." That's it. The first group, again, track when you exercise. Second group, read about how exercise is the best thing for you, and also they got a schmooze about how it's going to help their cardio. And the third group had to plan when they're going to exercise and actually write down, "I will exercise on this day, at this time, at this place." And the results. The first and second group, 35 to 38% actually exercised, which is astounding. Not just that it's a low number. There was no difference between the second group and the first group. The first group, they read about exercise, and they got, you know, they got some guy up there to scream and tell them, "Pump that heart, it's good for you, it's healthy." And it got them nowhere. They exercised no more than group number one. Group number three, 91% of the people ended up exercising. Almost three times the amount. Why? Because they made a plan beforehand that this is when I'm going to do it. And they also wrote down one sentence. "I will do it on this day, at this place, for this amount of time." That's unbelievable. But that's what Rav Hutner is teaching us. Rav Hutner is teaching us that you could say, "Of course I want to wake up early. Of course I want to daven with minyan all the time. Of course I want to learn extra Torah. I want to finish masechtas. I want to wear tzitzis all the time. And I want to wear my tefillin with beautiful kavana and really feel it. And I want to keep Shabbos in the best of the best way." Of course we want those things. And you ask someone, check, 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 check. But then all of a sudden, we're not able to do it. We're not able to bring ourselves to change. So what do we have over here, a shvuah? We take a shvuah that says, "I'm going to keep it. I'm going to do it. I articulate my plan of what I want to do." And by doing so, we connect to the future. We connect to the different possibilities of what's going to happen then. And we're given the siyata d'shmaya to then go ahead and bring it out into fruition. I remember when I was 18, I used to go once a week to hear a shmooze in a yeshiva in Geula called Chevron. It's called Chevron Geula. And at the time, he was a great mashgiach. He still is a great mashgiach. But then he was a great mashgiach in Chevron Geula. And his name was Reuven Leichter. Many people might have heard of him. And it was Erev Yom Kippur. And it was time for him to give his weekly shmooze. So I went there. And you know, you're all excited. Erev Yom Kippur, this is going to be a whammy, you know. How dare you do this and how dare you do that. And you should have done it like this and this, you know. And he came in and he said, "I have one thing to say and one thing only. That before Yom Kippur, make sure you plan out what you're going to do right after Yom Kippur." I'm sitting there, I'm like, I traveled all the way here for that? To plan out what I'm doing after Yom Kippur? You know, the Zman's over. It's Bein HaZmanim. There's lots to do. So he said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "You had this high in Yom Kippur. You know, you come into yeshiva, we started off the new school year, in Elul, Rosh Hashanah, we're excited, there's a lot going, I'm going to accomplish, right? Especially Yom Kippur, woo, what a high, right?" So you say, "Okay, I'm so up there, I'm so motivated, I'm going to finish Shas before Sukkot starts." You have 4 days to finish the entire thing, right? You're just so motivated, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the best, I'm going to be tzaddik now. And then what happens, the next day you go ahead and you go to buy your lulav and esrog, and you walk into the shuk, and there are a million people there, and you're bumped around, and finally you find something, and you go bring it to someone to see if it's kosher. He says it's not kosher. You have to go back to the store, argue with the guy to get a new one, then you go back and forth. All of a sudden the day's over, and you learned zero. Okay, then you have to go build your sukkah. And that takes a lot of time as well. And then your wife asks you to go ahead and buy something and shop, and day two, zero. and you're barely making it into Yontif, Sukkot night, you're like falling off your feet in your chicken soup in the sukkah. And you say, oh, Baruch Hashem, I can fulfill the mitzvah of sleeping in the sukkah. Okay, but you're sleeping in the soup and you accomplished nothing. You walked out of Yom Kippur and you're like, this is it. This is going to be my year. I'm going to change. I'm going to be great. And you come out with nothing. So he said, the greatest tshuva that you could do is make a real plan of what you're going to be able to do after Yom Kippur. And say, I'm going to wake up in the morning the next day, and before I embark to go buy my esrog, I'm going to learn for an hour, half an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, whatever it is. And I'm going to learn with this person. And I'm going to learn in this place. And I'm going to learn at that time. Exactly like this study in the UK did. You speak it out. You articulate. And then you're able to accomplish it. Because you get this force, this inner potential comes out in a very, very real way. And that's something that we have to try to do. We're still in the beginning of this Zman. Okay, we're 2 weeks into Elul. We all want to grow. We're all striving for great stuff. It's not enough to say, I want. I want is not enough. We have to sit down, take a small, short moment, and articulate. This is what I am going to do. This is when I'm going to do it. This is who I'm going to do it with. This is how much time I'm going to do it for. And then, are we always going to be able to make it? We're not always going to be able to make it. But we'll have only 91%. That means 9% of the people still weren't able to exercise, right? So we're not all going to be able to do it all the time. But we will. The chances of us being able to accomplish what we want to accomplish is a million times greater than if we just sit back and hear a nice schmooze and get really excited and learn something nice. We have to put that into real action and articulate it in a real way. I want to end off with two stories that hopefully will show us that we could really even do sometimes more than we think that we could do. There was a great Hasidic Rebbe during World War II, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, tremendous tzaddik, and after the war, there was a certain communal need, a certain mitzvah that he really needed help with. So he gathered together a few young married individuals and he told them the very pressing need of the community. And he said, I want your help. I want you guys to step up, take responsibility, and help me out. And their response was, okay, we got it. We'll do what we can. And he said to them, he said, you have no idea what you just said. You said you're going to do what you can. You just obligated yourself to enormous amounts. And he said, let me explain to you what I mean. He said, before the war, I used to get up in front of the Beis Medrash, and I used to go ahead and deliver a shiur. And I had a lot of books that I wanted to bring out to the table and be able to use during my shiur. And they were heavy. So I'd have a helper bring up the books for me. They were too heavy for me. I wasn't strong enough. And that's what happened. Every week I'd give my shiur. Someone would carry all the heavy books up for me, put them down on the bima, and I'd give my shiur. When I was in the concentration camps, the Nazis gave me back-breaking labor. I was working like an animal. And I was lifting things that I never in my life thought that I could lift. And I realized that, you know, I'm much stronger than I thought. You know, I couldn't carry that. You know, in those days, I didn't even have an Oz V'Hadar. Can you imagine to have to carry an Oz V'Hadar Gemara? It's very heavy, you know? Carry a few of those. Forget about it. I thought I couldn't do it. And then I realized, when I was forced into the situation, I was able to carry a lot more than I thought. You just said that you're going to do what you can. The problem is you don't realize what you can do. You can do a lot. You can do this major thing that was needed for the community. And bring the second story. The story about the Netziv. The Netziv accomplished learning knowledge in Torah that's unfathomable. He knew everything. And people were astounded. How in the world did he know everything? How is it possible? So someone once asked, this is Zalman Meltzer, this question. And he said as follows. He said, in Volozhin, there was a student that was very, very weak. And weak, I mean physically weak. And everyone knew. He couldn't do much. And then once there was a building right outside of the yeshiva that caught on fire. And that kid, that guy ran in there And they saw him carrying out on his shoulders two human beings, two adults, carrying out of the house on his back during the fire to save them. And he said, you know what? He said, when there's a fire, all of a sudden, you have major kochos. You have major abilities. Things that you didn't even realize was inside you, you're able to go ahead and accomplish. He said that in Tziv, his desire to learn in Torah and accomplish in Torah was like a house that was burning down. He wanted it so badly, as if there was a fire, that he was able to do things that were unfathomable. No one would ever believe that he could accomplish. I remember when I was in college and I was studying for tests, I'd stay up and I had to learn a whole semester's information in two nights. Not so easy. So I'd stay up for nights, and literally night after night after night after night, just learning the entire thing right before the test. And then you know, you crash for 4 hours and then you continue. I'm sure other people have had that experience. Where did that come from? Now, if I'm learning, preparing a shiur, can I actually do that? To stay up all night and go, can't do it. I'm going to be in a bad mood tomorrow. How am I going to teach? How am I going to learn? I have all these excuses. You can't do it. I wasn't in a bad mood then. I didn't walk into the test in a bad mood, and I didn't have any problems. You did what you got to do. And all of a sudden, you're able to do super duper rooper stuff. You're just able to go way above and beyond what you thought you were capable of. And we all have had an experience like this. Right? We don't need a burning house to teach us this. We all know there were times that we've done things, I cannot believe I just did that. How did I do that? How did I accomplish that? But then we have to take that moment and not just say, oh, that was for that. Say, well, if I was able to do that, it means it's in me. I'm capable of doing it. And I could do even more. I could push myself. I can accomplish. I can accomplish things that I never thought I'd be able to accomplish. So we have to do two things. First, we have to take a step back and say, okay, what do I want to accomplish? Define it. And don't shoot low. Shoot high. Shoot things that you didn't think you'd be able to do. Maybe you don't think you're so comfortable. Try it. Worst comes to worst, you're not comfortable, you'll reboot. No problem. And then don't just dream about it and think about it. Articulate it. Say it to a friend. Say it out to someone else. Write it down. This is when I'm going to do it and how I'm going to do it. And that will allow us, will enable us to go ahead, just like the Shavua. In this week's parasha, it will enable us to go ahead and accomplish tremendous things. We'll be able to bring our dreams to reality, and we'll be able to be both successful people that we could be. Shavua Tov.